it is fitting that we would do this. And one of the things that you may not know is that the songs that Brother James selected, he selected before he knew we were going to have tonight's service. And I think it's so wonderful that we would even close with a song like that that would say, so close. Especially at a time right now when you need to know and to feel the closeness of Jesus. To know that He's right there and that He promises He will never let you go. Tonight is a memorial service combined with our regular worship service for Mike Grimm. And we have quite a few friends and family that are with us tonight. And you may be wondering, how is it that we're having this service in this place? And I'm going to tell you how that came to be. I did not know Mike very long. In fact, I think it was about 2 weeks ago today that I met Mike. I had not known him before then. Mike came by my office here at the church, and he shared that he was looking for some work. He was looking for a way to help his family. And he told me about some of the struggles that they had been through and shared that his wife was working hard and he wanted to be able to help her and to help provide for the family. And so he said to me, he said, I'm not asking you for a handout. I'm asking you if you have any work. He said, my landlord gave me a pressure washer and I would like to find some houses to clean, or maybe the church needs cleaning or the driveway or something. Just, I'm looking for a way to help my family. And I was impressed with that, because as a pastor, a lot of times, a lot of the calls I get are for people who are not looking for work. They're not looking for help. In fact, oftentimes the call I get is for someone who's asking for me to help ask the church to help pay the water bill or the phone bill or the electric bill. And before I can get through the conversation, they've got to put me on hold to catch the line on the other line, you know, and turn down the satellite TV. And, you know, it just seems like sometimes you get taken advantage of. But that's not what Mike was about. And I was impressed with that. And I told him, I said, Mike, we have, the church owns a pressure washer, and we have people in the church who volunteer to do that from time to time, so the church doesn't really need it. And I thought, but you know, I tell you what, if you'll come to my house, my house needs it, and I just hadn't gotten around to do it, and I'll hire you. You come to the house, so we set up a certain time that he was going to be there, and it was a week ago this past Friday. So just when we said at 8:30 that morning, Mike was there, Johnny on the spot. And I asked him how much he was going to charge me to pay, and he told me. And the rate he told me, I'll be honest with you, I thought was a little low. I thought, you know, I don't want to take advantage of the guy. So I ended up paying him a little bit more than he asked me for. And he cleaned the house. And when he got through with it, he had done a great job. My house was cleaner than it's ever been on the outside. I didn't ask Mike to clean the inside. Maybe I should have. I don't know, Rhonda. I don't know how he did on that. But he cleaned the outside of my house real good. And so when he got through, I said, well, look, you know, I know some other people that maybe need their house cleaned. I said, my brother's building a new house, and he's got a shed on the place where he's building it. And it's kind of, he's told me he wants to get it pressure washed. And so let me talk to him, and maybe, you know, maybe he'll do it. And maybe there's some other folks. Let me just see if I can rustle you up some work. Because I was impressed with him. So Mike came back the following Monday. Hey, have you had a chance to talk to your brother yet? I said, you know, I saw my brother, but I forgot to mention it to him. And he said, okay, well, I've got this one. He started telling me, he said, I got this work, I got this house lined up, and I went to this church, and they asked me to do it. He said, man, this is really coming together. I said, that's great, Mike, God's blessing you. So Wednesday, Mike came back, and this past Wednesday, and he said, hey, you, a week ago today, he said, talked to your brother yet? I said, man, I just forgot to talk to my brother. I'm sorry, Mike. I really wasn't trying to put him off. I just, it slipped my mind. And he said, well, man, it's really going good. In fact, he said, I had to turn down a job. It was so big. I got another job, though, that I actually may have to hire some people to help me do it. It's just, it's like the Lord's blessing. Things were coming together. And I said, that's great. I said, well, I'm going to do my best to talk to my brother tonight at church. And that was a week ago, last Wednesday, and this past Wednesday. And so last Wednesday, about 8 o'clock, Mike came in those doors. Oh, man, when I saw Mike, I thought, oh, man, I hadn't talked to my brother yet. I hate to tell him third time in a row I hadn't talked to my brother. And good news was, though, I talked to my mother. You guys know that when you need somebody to talk to, you can go to Mama. So I went and talked to my, I talked to my mom that day, and I said, look, you know, this guy really, he does a good job and needs some work, and do you have anything you need? And she said, yeah, I've got some stuff I could use. And so I told him, I said, I hadn't talked to my brother yet, but, you know, my mom's got this, and we can do this. And we found some things at the church that we really needed, we hadn't thought of when I talked to him before. So I said, Friday morning, why don't you come by, and, you know, you can do some work. And he was excited. That was good. He says his pressure washer had broken down, but but he still was excited about working and helping his family. Well, Friday morning came around, and he showed up like every other time I'd seen him on time and was there ready to help and ready to work, and he went to work. And he cleaned this whole front area, the front around the fountain. He scrubbed it, and he cleaned it, and spruced it up, made it look good. And by 11 o'clock, he was through. And we visited a little bit, and he said, I said, you ready to go work, you know, down the some flower beds that needed weeding? And he was going to do that. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, let me take a little break, because I wasn't ready to take him down there. He said, let me take a little break, and I'll be back at 11:30. And 11:30, he was back. And we ended up visiting for a while, and he began to tell me about his family. He began to tell me about his sons and how proud he was of his sons. He told me he had two sons. He said one was 22 years old, or 24 years old, I think, 23 or 24. He told me 24. And he said his son was marrying, and his wife was expecting. He said, I'm going to have me a Christmas present baby. He was excited about that baby. And he told me about Mike. Mike is 18 years old, a senior at Tioga High School. And he said, Mike's going to come help me this afternoon here at the grounds. And I'm going to pick him up. And he's excited about helping me. And we're going to work together. And I said, man, that's great. You know, father and son working together. And I asked him where he went to church. He said, well, you know, Pastor Nathan, he said, haven't been going to church in a little while. But I really appreciate the way y'all been towards me. And I told my wife, I'd like to make this my church home. And she said, that's great. That was fine. We would come to this church and we'd make it. And Rhonda hadn't even met us yet. But Mike had told her that. And so he had made up his mind that this was going to be his church home. All this happened just in the short span of a week. That was Friday morning around 11:30. And by 1 o'clock, Mike was home with Jesus. Mike was working here. Had been working outside on the grounds. And best we can tell, he got tired and he laid down and went to be with Jesus. Now, I don't say that glibly and I don't say that lightly. I know that it's not my place to judge anyone's eternal home or anyone's eternal destination. But the reason that I say that about Mike is because of some of the things that he had already told me about as a child, the decision he had made to serve God. Some things his wife told me about how he'd worked in the youth group and loved kids. And I could see in Mike's life that Jesus was calling him back to himself. I think even his attraction to us and to this place was witness to Jesus drawing him back to himself. When Mike went on to be with the Lord, Rhonda was at work and an officer had to inform her and had the difficult duty of telling her. And before he left, he had given us Mike's keys to their car. And on that key ring was a little placard that said, I'd be lost without Jesus. And when I saw that, my heart was so comforted. My heart was so comforted. You know, I know that I didn't know Mike but 2 weeks. That's all I did. That's all I knew him. But I have a sense in my heart that Jesus was calling him to himself. And I don't know of a better place to go home than on a place that was dedicated to God. These grounds have been given to God. This is God's house. And this is where Mike came to go home. And so tonight we come to pay respects and to remember Mike Grimm. We're with his family and with his friends. Mike was only 48 years old. In fact, he was born in 1955. He was 10 years older than I am. Passed away this past Friday in 2004. He would have been 49 in November. He would have been 50. My math must be wrong. Okay, November 26th. One of the things that you'll see when you look up here, you'll see an American flag. And that's because Mike served our country in the United States Army. And I want to tell you, anybody who has done that deserves our respect and our gratitude. Mike's father preceded him in death, but his mother is still living in Washington. And he has two sisters that are in other parts of the country. But the ones that are here are his wife, Rhonda, and his two sons, Brandon and Mike. Michael, I called him, but he told me he's going to be Mike. He's going to be known as Mike. So tonight we have the opportunity to to remember Mike and to think about eternal issues. I've got some scriptures that I want to share with you from Revelation chapter number 14. But before I do that, I'd like to give the opportunity to anyone who has something you'd like to share about Mike, that opportunity to do so. And if there's something you'd like to share with the family, or if the family would like to share anything, and Rhonda has meant to indicate she may would like to share something. Rhonda, would you like to do that?
I wanted to thank everybody for coming, because Mike would have loved all of y'all to come. He loved people. He loved kids. And I also want to thank the people who come for my job, because he thought a great deal of them. He said one day, he said, you know, you got a boss named Mr. Keith. I said, yeah, I sure do. He said, he's a nice guy. He said, I sit on that bench every day, and he'll do his head like this. But he said, the past few weeks, he'll say, well, how you doing? Hello. He said, he is a very nice guy. And he said, I love the way that those people at Max treat you. I said, well, they're a loving people, and they're one of my families. And they have really stuck behind me. I wouldn't want anybody else for a boss than Mr. Keith. He's wonderful. I have friends like Penny and Tanya and Annette and Eve. And Eva's like my best friend, too. She's sweet. They came to my parents' house about, I guess, a few days ago, and loving and bringing me food and stuff. And they said, well, I said, y'all didn't have to bring anything but yourself, because Mike loved everybody. He always said, Rhonda, he said, never leave Max, because he said, them people there are good folks, especially Mr. Keith. He said, I know he'll treat you good, because he seems like that kind of person. And the day the officer came and told me about my husband passed away, I couldn't have found a more loving family and boss than Mr. Keith and them. They are my family there. And then I have my new church family here and my parents. And that's what he wanted. Of course, his family couldn't make it. But Michael had told me, it's okay, sweetheart. You can spend time with your family. You've got so many people who love you and think a great deal of you. And he said, remember, I'll always be with you. And you tell that baby that's coming. We were supposed to name him Tristan Gabriel Lee Laborde. But the kids thought, maybe I asked him, I said, would you put your daddy's middle name in with the baby? And they said yes. Yeah. So his name, Mike's middle name was William. So his name could be Tristan William Lee Laborde. And I want to thank everyone for coming, because without y'all's backing and my people I work with, I could not make it. And I want to thank Mr. Keith again, because the day that they come tell me my husband passed away, I couldn't, like I said, I couldn't ask for a better boss. And I hope everybody meets a boss like that. And I want to thank y'all, my family too. Mike loved all y'all. And he loved coming to Max 2 hours ahead of time and sitting on that bench. He thought several times, he said, you sure Mr. Keith's not going to say nothing? I said, he's not that kind of a guy. He's a sweetheart. He may be quiet sometimes and stay on the phone, but he loves us anyway. And I love him too. So I'm going to give the thing back to Pastor, but I want to thank you all for backing me as my church family, my family at work, and my family at home. He would really love that. And I want to thank y'all for everything you have done for me, because he would say, Rhonda, you stick with them good people. And he'd tell me time and time again, you're not going to leave Max. So I said, no, I got loving family there. But I want to thank y'all. And I love you, Mr. Keith.
Amen. Thank you, Rhonda. I don't want to intend to drag this out intentionally long, but if there is anyone else that knew Mike and would like to share something, this would be a good opportunity for you to do that. You don't have to come up here if you want to just stand and speak where you are. If there's something that you'd like to give a testimony or a memory of Mike, I know that there will be many opportunities to share that and share the thoughts and the memories that you have together in the days to come. I do want to share with you a couple of scriptures that I think are important. Revelation chapter 14 is the last, the book of the Revelation is the last book in the Bible. And it's the closing of the scriptures, the closing of the revealing of God. And there's a very interesting scripture that's found in the book of Revelation chapter 14 that I think is applicable to what we're standing here to do tonight. It says in Revelation chapter 14, in verse number 13, and hopefully we'll have the scriptures above for you to look at. It says, Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." Blessed are the dead, it says, who die in the Lord from now on. And the reason the scripture came to my mind was because Mike died laboring. He died working. He was laboring for his family. Mike had a back injury many years ago and had surgery on his back and had hoped that would take care of it. And then working in another place of employment, it just really totally devastated his back, disabled him completely. And he wasn't able to do the kind of work that he would have liked to have done to take care of his family. But he was doing what he could. He was laboring for his family. And this scripture talks about their labors. They rest from their labors. And when we found Mike, it was as if he was resting from his labors. But it's an interesting verse that says here, "Blessed are those who die." And I question, blessed are the dead? I mean, how is it that the dead are blessed? Most of us, when we think of death, don't think of happy thoughts. We don't think of happiness or blessedness. And the word blessed often is translated as happy. And we can't often think of that as being a happy thing. In fact, usually when the time comes to the end of a life, the things that come to mind are more suffering and pain and sorrow and separation and loss. Those are the things that we think of. And in fact, you even look at Jesus himself. When he had his friend Lazarus die, he wept at his friend's tomb. And we look at Jesus on the cross. We don't think of him as being, we don't think pretty pictures of that or pretty thoughts of that. So how can we say blessed are the dead? But the key word that is found in there, you know, the key phrase, it says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." That's the key phrase. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, who have a relationship with Him, who know Jesus, who've entered into a relationship with Jesus, and who when they die, they go and not just they go on to a fuller relationship and a fuller life than any of us could imagine. You know, life is so fleeting and life is so swift. We hear those phrases and we sometimes hear a preacher talk about life being like a vapor, and we mentally agree, but it's when something like this happens that we realize how quickly life can be snatched away from us. And we have that question. What about those who die in the Lord? There may be many reasons that people are blessed. In Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4, we find that there are some who, when they die, they may be rejoicing for this reason, as we'll have the scripture up on the screen. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, says, "I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the..." That was Revelation 14. We'll get to Revelation 21 here in just a second. How about if I just go to it and read it to you? Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4 says, "And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain." You know, that's a good reason to be happy, because your tears are wiped away. Your mourning is gone. The death is gone. The pain is done away with. And so that's a good reason to say blessed are those who die in the Lord, because they have that kind of hope and they have that kind of encouragement. There are some who are going to be happy when they die because of the things they see in heaven. They get to see the streets of gold and the gates made of pearl and the walls of jasper and all the wonderful things that heaven is made of. And there are some who are going to be happy because they get to see Jesus face to face, something they've been longing to see. You know, we sang the song tonight, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you." The longing of man is to see God. And those who die are blessed because they see Him face to face. But this scripture that we've read here in Revelation chapter 14 gives us one of the reasons, or one of the very explicit reasons, that they're happy and that they're blessed. And if you go back to it, Revelation 14, verse 13, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors." You see, there's a rest that has come upon Mike. And there's a rest that comes upon every person who dies in the Lord. There's a rest from their labors that takes place. Now you say, what labors? Is it resting from weeding and from cleaning? Is it resting from doing your chores and making your bed and going to work 9 to 5? Is it resting from all those things that we don't like, having to work? Well, yeah, there's a rest from that, but there's another kind of labor that we get to rest from. And Paul describes it in Colossians chapter number 1. Chapter number 1, verse number 28, says, "We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." And verse 29 goes on to say, "For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me." Paul talks about a labor that he had to bring others to Christ and to teach others about Christ. But it wasn't just talking about preachers, because in 1 Corinthians he shared an encouragement to all believers, not just to preachers, not just to pastors. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, he tells them, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil, your sweat, your labor is not in vain." You see, there is a labor that every believer enters into, that every Christian enters into. And it is a labor of encouraging others. It's a labor of bearing fruit. It's a labor of sharing our faith. It's a labor of being a light in a dark world. It's a labor of introducing others as we hold forth as witness of Jesus. It is a struggle. It can be an ongoing labor. Ask any mother who's ever given birth if labor doesn't tire you out. And so it says, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord because they rest from their labor." There's another labor that Christians have, and that is that labor against sin and that labor against temptation, that labor that we have so much because we're in this flesh. In Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12, Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I get tired just reading that. I mean, we have a struggle. We have a labor. We have a fight. We have a toil. And it's something that we need rest from. And in the Revelation it said, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord because they rest from their labor." I thank God that we get to rest. And if you remember what we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, it says, you need to remember that your toil or your labor is not in vain. One day, if the Lord tarries, everyone in this room will one day die. If the Lord tarries. If He does not, if He comes back quickly, then we will, those who believe, will be caught up to meet Him in the air, as Scripture teaches us. But whatever day that occurs, there will be a happy blessedness that comes upon us, because certainly because our pain has ended, because our sorrow is over, but it will also be because our labors are over and we will enter into His blessedness. So as believers, there's a promise. For the believer, there's an encouragement. There is something that's held forth to us. I want to tell you what I think this means. There's one more ending in Revelation 14, verse 13. There's one more thing it says, and this is what's important. It says, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord," and the promise comes back from the Spirit. It says, "Yes, says the Spirit, so they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." What does that phrase mean, "their deeds follow with them"? What is the understanding that we have there? Well, I think there's at least two things, and I want to share real briefly with you what I think that is. Number one, I believe that this speaks that every one of us is going to be judged according to what we have done. The Bible teaches us plainly, Revelation 20, verse number 12, tells us that there's going to be a judgment and there's going to be books that will be opened. And it tells us that everyone's going to be judged from the things that are written in the books, the things that they did. We also have a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, 10 that says every one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to be judged for what we did. And the understanding that we as Christians have is it's not a judgment of you have to go to hell. It's a judgment of what kind of reward there will be for you in heaven. What kind of rewards will you receive? How faithful were you with the talents that God gave you? Because God gave you gifts and God gave you talents. And how faithful were you with those talents? And so we have this promise that there will be a reward. Our deeds will follow us in this sense to heaven. But I also believe there's another meaning. If you'll allow me to just give this other thought, I believe there's something else that our deeds follow us means. In one sense, I believe that our deeds continue on. Our deeds continue. The things that we've done in this flesh will continue on even after we're gone. If I could paraphrase it this way, I would say, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord, for they will rest from their labor, and those good deeds they have done will continue to work and bless and encourage even after that person has gone on to be with the Lord." There are some things that Mike has done that will continue to bless Rhonda and Mike and Brandon and the friends and the family. You know, when I stand here and talk about Mike, it may sound like I'm speaking of an angel. Those who know him probably say, "Well, I could tell you a thing or two about Mike. His halo is a little more crooked than you think." It doesn't matter what we think about Mike. The question is, what did Jesus think about Mike? That's the question. And I have the strong witness in my heart that Jesus drew him back to himself. And there are some things that Mike did that, you know, Mike, you could tell by his face that he had suffered some hardships. You know, the pain that he had gone through, the injuries he had suffered, and maybe even in his life there had been some disappointments and some failures that he wasn't excited about. But I know that there were also some things he did that God birthed within him, some gifts that he had and some talents he did that blessed other people. Even the small thing that he did for me of maybe taking away a little bit of the edge when someone comes to the church and wants some help. See, I'm so quick to judge. I'll just be honest with you. I'm so quick to think, "Well, here's another one." I'll be honest with you. When Mike walked in the door, that's what I thought. Here's another one. But when he shared with me, "I'm not asking for a handout. I'm looking for work." My heart was pierced. I was convicted. He left me a gift. I don't know what kind of gift he may have left you, but I do want to give you a gift that I know he would give you if he could. And that is the gift of hope and the gift of faith. When Mike was a young man, at some point in his life, he bowed his knee and he bowed his heart. He confessed with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord because he had believed that God raised Jesus from the dead. Mike may have in his life strayed away from that, but God never lets his children go. And we have this confidence that he who began a good work in you will complete it. He's faithful to complete it until the end. And our senior pastor, Brother Buddy, often says, if you didn't intend to end up with Jesus, you never should have started the journey, because you're coming. You're coming. You may come scratching and screaming and leaving tire marks, or you can come flapping your wings like an eagle, but you're coming because he's going to draw you back to himself. And I believe that Jesus was drawing Mike to himself. I believe that conversation we had just an hour and a half or an hour before he passed away from this earth gave witness to Jesus drawing him back to himself. And I guarantee you, because what Mike knows now, we don't know. What Mike has seen now, we haven't seen. What Mike is experiencing now, we have yet to experience. But I guarantee you, the things that he would say to us today is, don't wait. Don't put it off. And don't think you have forever. Today is the day of salvation. There are a lot of friends here, and I just want to encourage you to think about eternal issues. I don't think that when Mike got up on Friday morning, he didn't realize he would not see sunset on Friday afternoon. I'm sure that was not on his mind. Mike planned to pick up little Mike at 2:30 at school that afternoon. He had plans for tomorrow. He had plans for next week. He had plans for the future. But Jesus called him Friday. I don't know what your day is. I don't know what my day is. But the Bible tells us every one of us has an appointment. Every one of us has an appointment. I'm late for a lot of mine. My family knows that. My friends know that. I have a little personal digital assistant that I carry with me. And the alarm goes off 30 minutes before I'm supposed to be somewhere, because I need that much time to start thinking about getting up and going. I'm late for lots of things, but there's one appointment I won't be late for. There's one appointment I have no control over. There's one appointment that you and I have no choice in, and that is the appointment is appointed to man once to die. We have an appointment. My question to you, and I think Mike would ask you, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to meet Jesus? If you are, then you can celebrate with Mike and his family the fact that we will go where he is and be with the Jesus that he is with. But if you are not, you can meet Jesus. And it's a simple thing. It really is. It's as simple as believing with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and confessing with your mouth that He is the Lord. He's in charge of your life. And when you do that, you enter into a new relationship with Him. You enter into a new phase of living like you can't imagine it would be like. I want to encourage you. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me. And I'm not going to call on anyone to come to the front of this church tonight because that would not be appropriate. But I'm going to ask God to speak to your heart. Lord Jesus, as we've gathered in this place, we've spoken of Mike, but I pray that we've spoken more of you. I pray that we've lifted you up. We thank you for the life of Mike Grimm. Lord, as short as I was touched, as briefly as I was touched by his life, others were touched even more deeply and more profoundly. His sons, his wife, his family. And they're going to mourn his passing. They're going to grieve and long for his presence. But you gave us a promise in your word, not just blessed are those who die, but you also said blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would bring the comforting presence of your Spirit to everyone who mourns. I pray for Rhonda, that as she faces tomorrow and the day after and the day after, that you will be her husband, that you will fill her heart with love, and you will be her all in all. I pray for Brandon and for Mike as they look into the future without a father, that you will be the father to the fatherless, and that you will be the one they can call out to for advice, that you will be the one that will direct their paths. I pray for these friends and the different ones, Lord Jesus, that as we mourn, may our mourning together be lighter because it is shared as we share this grief. And Lord, I pray that even as I've shared these thoughts of eternal issues, that every one of us has an appointment with you, that you will speak to the hearts of each man, of each woman. And Lord, that you will call them to yourself even as you called Mike to you. I'm speaking of a spiritual calling, Lord, that you will convict the hearts, and that you will cause a hunger in their hearts for a relationship with you. A hunger for something that would fill that longing and that vacancy within their lives. Lord Jesus, only you can fill the empty place. I pray that they'll call out to you. We commit Mike to you, Father. Tomorrow when we lay him in the ground, we will have gone as far as we can go physically, but we are going to trust you spiritually for everything. We trust you, Father. And Lord, tonight we give you praise. We give you thanks for the life of Mike Grimm. We give you thanks for his life, Lord Jesus. Thank you for his children, for his wife and his family. May they be found always under the shadow of the Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We bring this service to a close. Tonight is a memorial. We remember Mike. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at Forest Lawn, there will be a graveside service. It will not be a lengthy service, but you are invited if you'd like to participate in that. Just a brief time of saying goodbye. I want to invite you before you leave tonight to come and to greet and express your heart to Brandon, to Mike, and to Rhonda, to their family and friends. And on behalf of them, I do express their thanks for all the things that you've done. Rhonda asked me to share with her church family, her new church family, her gratitude for the love that you've already shown to her and to the family. We're going to be dismissed from here into a time of fellowship and a time of greeting one another. But I pray that the Lord will go with you and that you will always remember the blessing of those who die in the Lord. Let that be your goal, to die in the Lord. Let it be your goal.